Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning service here in Gray Abbey. It's one of those Sundays where there's a lot of people away, and we're actually very fortunate to also welcome a number of visitors here this morning. So it's good to see you. I hope you're blessed by your joining us in the service today. And just in terms of announcements, thankfully there aren't too many. You will have seen the July announcement sheet. Have a read at that, you will see what's happening. I suppose there's a couple of things just to draw your attention to. Next Saturday, the church is having its tractor run in Clochy. So anyone who wants to get out and exercise a tractor would be very welcome. Anyone who wishes to go and spectate and maybe enjoy refreshments at the start or the finish will be very welcome. Registrations from 11:30, first tractor starts at 1 o'clock and it's expected to be about an hour, so they should be back about 2 or shortly afterwards. There will be burgers, there will be tea and so on available at the church halls for anyone who fancies that. And we're hoping and praying for weather, which will be better than last year. For those who remember, it was a case of nearly wringing ourselves out afterwards. Apart from that, I suppose, again, in Neil's absence while he's on holiday at the moment, if anyone is in need of the services of a minister, if they can contact George Angus or any of the elders, we will put you in touch with someone. And before we get started proper, in terms of announcements, I'd actually just like to ask Lorraine if she would come forward. She's just going to give a short shout out in relation to Trinity Tots. Thank you.
Just ignore this, please. So I am now the new Trinity Tots point of contact for next year. Ruth's done a great job and made it so much easier by being so organised to hand over. But I'm basically here to ask if anybody would like to volunteer. There are lots of different wee jobs and they're not every week. It's not because we haven't got the help that we need. We've now had to go down to every other week, which is sad because the community do rely on it a lot. But it's too much for the ones that are doing it to be committing every single week. So wee jobs that we need done would be some able men to maybe set up the hall for us so that we don't have to come down just quite so early. So it just means coming down maybe sort of 9 o'clock-ish just to set up the hall, the toys and things like that. It's not much. In the kitchen as well, if anybody wants to help in the kitchen, just preparing the food for the wee ones and for the parents. And also sort of, it'll probably be once every 2 months now, that we will organise something for the parents. So basically we take the parents into a different room and sort of a team comes in to help look after the children while they're out so that they don't have to worry about their children when they're enjoying whatever is going on, activities going on. So if anybody thinks that they could help in any of those ways, or even if it's just the odd time during the year, it doesn't matter, every little bit helps. If you could just give me a shout out, or if you see Joan Brown as well. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine. And yes, absolutely. Our Tots ministry has been blessed by many people of many different ages over recent years. Can I just encourage anybody who feels that they can? Many hands make light work, and it would be wonderful if that can continue. It has been super for our children, and particularly our young mothers and parents. So now, in our call to worship, I bring you a few words from Psalm 16. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. And with that in mind, we'll start with our first praise, Shout to the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for this morning and for the summer season and the holiday period. We thank you for the opportunity to meet others and worship here as you bring visitors to us. And we pray for our own people who are worshipping in other churches this morning. May we all be revived by our holidays and reinvigorated for your work wherever you have placed us. We recognize that sometimes with the summer and different things going on, we can be tempted to leave you out of our thoughts and out of our days. As the sun shines and we have more time, we seem to fill it with the things of this world, which we allow to take over. Help us to focus on you, the only thing which is of worth. Help us to engage in the things that you have called each of us to do, either individually or as part of your church. Lord God, give us ears to hear you and hearts that are earnestly seeking you and your will for us. And Lord, we ask for you to give us the strength to commit to your will and what it has for us. As we hear this morning, later in the service, about the work of SISM, we recognize that these teams depend on each member doing their part. Help us to be the part that you want us to be, whether that's a big part or a small part. Help us to recognize that all the parts are essential, and may we be blessed through the work that you have for us. This morning we give thanks for Norman, who will bring your word to us, and we ask that your message will flow through him and that hearts will be opened here this morning. We pray for Haley and Josh, who will be coming to give us a roundup of what the SISM team have been doing, who will share with their work of this week and the results of it, and for Drew, who will be speaking to the children this morning. We ask your blessing on the work they did, and for each of the children touched by that work this week, whether they attended the club or just looked on from afar. May they know that you were being worshipped and your work was being done in the villages of Portavogie and Clochy. And may we ask that the seeds that were sown will put down roots and grow and bring forth a harvest for you. Lord God, we remember the CEF Inters team, which is taking place this week. And we pray for Alex and Ellie, who are involved in the leadership of that team, and for Lewis, who's away from this church, taking part in the team. We also remember the ongoing preparations for the Holiday Bible Club, and we ask that you will be in all the detail and that the leaders and helpers will be blessed by your guidance and strength. We pray for the families who are thinking about sending children, that they will bring them along, and we pray for engagement with parents as well. Help us as we pray that this mission, which takes place on our doorstep and within our doorstep, will again bear fruit for you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Once again, we bring our second piece of praise. Just as the title, we're hoping that it focuses us on what God is speaking to us today. So we bring to us, "Focus My Eyes."
To worship in spirit. Good morning, folks. I hope you are all well this morning and open to listening to God's word as we open it this morning. But this week passed down in Clockey, there's been something going on, and it was called schism. Aaron was up here last week telling us a wee bit about what was going to happen. So now Haley and Joyce are going to come up here, hopefully, and tell us a wee bit about what did happen.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, so me and Haley, and there's also a few others from the church were down leading, and there was also a few others from the church down helping out, which we're very, very thankful for during this week. It's probably not going to be too exciting. We're all absolutely shattered, I think, this morning. But yeah, definitely, we've had a really, really good week. First of all, thanks very much to the people of the congregation for the use of the halls. A lot of the people helped out making food, doing devotions for us in the evenings and stuff like that, which we're very, very thankful for. So during the week, our theme was Light into Darkness. There was 236 kids on the books that attended throughout the week. A lot of them were there every day, which was really, really promising and really good to see. The schedule was quite full on. We had a morning session, an afternoon session, and an evening session with a wee break in the middle for us to eat and recover slightly. Throughout the week, yeah, the big theme was Light into Darkness, and we really touched into that, looking at lots of different Bible characters, doing lots of different activities. I was with the older ones, which there was lots of activities for them, which were quite intense. Lots of running about, lots of hunt the leader, everybody dressed up in Portavogie. If you're from that direction, you might have seen some people dressed up as elephants or cyclists or absolutely everything. Can't remember them all. There was 43 leaders there. Some of us from here, some of us from Portavogie, some people from England. Way up near Jordanstown, there was lots of different people all came together. It was really, really good. I'd say out of all the teams, it was probably the most united we have been. We were all really, really close. We all got in really, really well. And as the Bible says, when there's unity, there's blessing. And this week, we're really, really seeing God just bless us. So I'll pass over to Hilly.
I think I'll have to bring this down a wee bit. So as Josh says, where there's unity, there's blessings, and we definitely, definitely seen God move this week. More so, I think, you always say that you're expectant and you're bold, but God just always blows our minds, and he definitely did. We come to SISM and we have fun, and you know, we really care about the kids, but the thing that we care most about is the kids' souls. And on Wednesday, we were sitting around the dinner table, and Aaron had said, okay, so we've got some good news. And at that stage, we heard that one little girl had given her life to the Lord. It's going to go well. So that was like absolutely amazing. Again, at that point, we were like, do you know what? If SISM has to stop tonight, like, who cares? Because there is one little girl going to heaven. Then on the Thursday, was it, I think, at the morning sessions, one of the guys had came to a guy called James and said, I want to let you know that I became a Christian last night. So number two, and again, we were like, do you know what, if SISM, you know, if this is all that comes from SISM, like, this is more than enough. God has done more than enough. And on the Friday, on the Friday night, we decided with the older groups, we were going to have a bonfire and we were going to have some games. And I was absolutely shocking at the games, like horrendous. I was the one that everybody was laughing at. So I just decided I was going to walk away and pretend like I was talking to people. But actually that worked out really well. There was a couple of the kids that were sort of standing at the sideline, and they had lots of questions about God. And in the end, we were all standing around the bonfire, and we had really been chatting very seriously. Some of the young people had actually given their testimonies, which is absolutely like one of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed, like seeing 11, 12, 13, 14 year olds express their love for God to their peers is just so inspiring. And after this, Aaron, the team leader, had sort of said, you know, two people have given their life to the Lord this week. And if that's really, that's what we're here for, and this is what we came for. And at that point, one of the girls just came over to me and said, I think that number two has just turned to three. And again, of course, we all stood blubbering messes, and we got to pray with her, and as did all the leaders with every single person that gave their life to the Lord. We then went back to the community centre, to which we seen Aaron sitting praying with the girl in the corner, and she gave her life to the Lord. And we thought this was just absolutely amazing. It was absolutely amazing. But whenever we got to Clocky, it was just completely rounded off. And we were united with the other team, who were absolutely also on a high because another girl had given her life to God. And it was, do you know what? Like, that's what we were there for. And God is so good, and he is so faithful. And he uses us when we're broken. And he uses us even though we're sinful. And to be a part of that was absolutely amazing, and I'm going to gather myself now because I'm a mess, a very thankful mess. But yeah, and as George said earlier, you know, like, there was four of us that helped out with schism from this church: Emily, Holly, Josh, and myself. And there was a couple of others that came down to help with the banter and the pranks. And each one of us were just so thankful for our church, because the way people were talking about Trinity was just so humbling. And I really want to encourage you, like, people are seeing the way that God is using this church, and God is using this church because you're being prepared to do just to go out and do his work, and people are seeing that. And we were so thankful, like, people were coming down, they were cooking for us, but people were praying for us. And because of that, God really blessed us. And so I thank every single one of you for whatever way you were involved. Aaron at one stage had said, do you know what? Like, yes, there was a couple of leaders at different stages praying with these kids, but this was very much like a united way that God was using everyone. So if you prayed at all, if you cooked for us at all, if you opened the doors of the church, if you just said yes to schism and thought about us, then you were part of this journey with us. And I thank you so much for that, because God uses us all, and we're all part of his one body. And just to close, because I know I'm rambling, there's a song that actually came on the car earlier on this morning, and it just, whenever I heard of it, I just thought that's Trinity, like. And it just goes, Holy Spirit, from creation's birth, given life to all that God has made. And this is the bit that I love. Show your power once again on earth, which he did, because he's healing our peninsula. Cause your church to hunger for your ways, which he is doing, because our church is so desiring the way of the Lord. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise, which happened because we were just continually praying for God to change lives, and he did. Lead us on the road of sacrifice, which we did, because we were giving up so much time. Like, you as a church were giving up finances and effort and time. That in unity, the face of Christ. So we as a body, we were united, may be clear for all the world to see. And I truly believe that on the peninsula, so many different churches, so many young people, so many people that were older, and so many children were united and blessed by the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that this mission continues. And yeah, just thank you all for everything.
Thank you very much, Hayley and Josh. You know, it's always good to hear when people come to the Lord. And you know, I know as Presbyterians, we're very reserved when we hear that sort of thing. But, you know, it's hallelujah. You know, praise the Lord, because it's good to hear. It's good to hear. I'm going to open God's Word now. It's page, if I get my glasses on, 1042 in your pew Bibles. It's a very short passage, a passage that has been known very well, and I just want to look at it this morning again. So it's on page 1042, Luke 10, 38 to 42, page 1042. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations they had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God bless this reading and bless this word today. We have an opportunity now to give back to God as we offer up our offerings to him. Let us do that. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have, Father God, to give what we have back to you. And Father, in our offerings, we pray, no matter whether we're rich or whether we're poor, Father God, that we have given to you what you deserve, Father God, because you deserve so much. And Father, we pray that you'll take these offerings, and Father, we pray that wherever they go, that they will be blessed and that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have a children's address now. Drew's going to come and do it. So any children, if they want to come up and up to the front here, I know there's a few up in the gallery there, if they want to come on down here to the front. And while Drew's getting ready there, I don't want you to panic, but over the next 4 weeks, there will be no K4C, okay? But parents, don't panic because we are in control. God is in control, I should say. And after Drew's finished, there will be worksheets and things to give out, and they can take them back and do them. Hopefully they'll listen to me, but they can do the worksheets, which are on what I'm talking about anyway. Okay, so I'll hand over to Drew.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you so much again, everyone, just for all the support and all the prayer. And just as Gillian and Dr. said, I'm unbelievable. It was a whole team effort, but of course, it was God. That's what you would give the glory to. So, hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
So, does anyone want to tell me what your favorite animal is? Anyone have a favorite animal? What's your favorite animal? Duck. Oh, brilliant. I love ducks. That's really funny as well when they squabble with each other, isn't it? Yes. A dog. Yeah. I thought I was going to hear a dog. My favorite dog is a golden retriever. You've been here with a tiny dog? Yeah, what's your favorite dog? Bulldogs. Brilliant. Oh yes, fantastic. Horse? Oh wow. Ask me, is a horse my favorite animal?
No.
A horse as well, fantastic. It's really, really good. Well, my favorite animal is actually much smaller than a horse, smaller than a dog, and it's an amphibian, so that means it lives on land and sea.
You're right, it's a frog.
Okay, so I've got with me a frog. Actually, I've got a tie on, because, you know, if you ever see a frog with a bow tie, you know that he's popular. Yeah. But he was really cool, and all the other frogs loved him. They loved to hang about with him, loved to chat with him, and he was always the jokester as well. He'd tell us pranks and jokes, and we all thought he was hilarious. But he was also a bit of a bully. He would tell people what to do, and they would just have to follow him and do what he said. Bit of a ringleader. Well, it was starting to get pretty cold. And what happens when it gets cold for frogs? Does anyone know what frogs do when it comes to the winter? Yeah? They don't fight to get from warm places, but they do go to warm places. And that's called hibernating. Yeah? Well, sometimes in really cold countries, the water freezes. And where do the frogs go? They go in the water, underneath the water. So the top of it is frozen, they go down before it freezes, and they snuggle up in the mud, and they hibernate, and they sleep for a long, long time. And once it gets cool again, or not cool, once it gets warm again, they get back up, and they're safe. And that keeps them safe. Well, Frankie didn't want to go in the pool, and it was starting to get colder and colder. And Frankie said to his friends, you know what, we'll leave it a bit later this year. We're just going to just enjoy ourselves out here, do what we want, be our own boss, don't worry about going in the pool. But it starts to get even colder, and Lisa decides, I'm going to jump in the pool. So she goes in, and Frankie was like, she went in too early, what's that about? You know, you stay with me, and we'll share jokes, and we'll have fun, we'll catch flies with our tongues, and we'll jump from lily pad to lily pad, and just ignore the fact that it's getting cold. But one by one, as I got colder, each frog got themselves, you know, Frankie's good fun and everything, but he's not being very wise. And so they jump into the pool, because they know that's the place to go. It's warm, it keeps them cool, or keeps them warm, and also keeps them alive. Then they need to get in the pool before the water freezes over, so that they can hibernate. Now, eventually there's only two left, and Phil says to Frankie, you need to wise up here. You know, I really enjoy you now, your right hand frog, but we need to go in the pool now because it is definitely getting too cold and the water's starting to get hard. And so in Phil jumps, so otherwise up the way, Phil's a little bit. But in he goes. Frankie's left by himself and he's getting a bit annoyed and a bit stubborn, and he says to himself, you know what? All these frogs, they're just being silly, they're just being too careful. I'm just gonna stay out here and do what I want, and I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna prove to them that I don't need to go in as early as this. I'll jump in, but later on, I'll not do it now. And so he waits. Now there's a verse in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the second half of it says, behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. So we'll say that again. It says, behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the time of salvation. So we'll think about that verse again in a minute. Now, Frankie didn't want to go in the pool. Eventually he thinks to himself, well, time to go in. It's been a long time. I've proved my point. I'm going to jump in, but I'm going to jump in with style. And so, up he gets. He's up in the air. We'll draw up here in the air. He's going to do, actually, I'm not going to say what he's doing because I'm not doing it. He's doing the arm jump in the air. Ready? There he is. And he's thinking to himself, whenever they see me, they look up from underneath the pool. They see me jumping in with style. They'll regret the fact that they didn't listen to me. They'll think I'm the cool Frankie again. And they'll all apologize and say to me, you know what, we were silly to jump in so early. We should have listened to you. So, check his arms out. He's going for a dive. There you go. And he's looking a wee bit different than me. Sometimes that happens. His arms are a bit bigger, but he's been working out. So he jumps up in the air, and he's about to dive into the pool. And so up he goes, and then we'll hide it again. You see? And now he's about to dive straight in. This might work. There you go. Right. So he's up in the air, he's about to go in, but what do you think happens to the pool? What has already happened to the pool? Yes? It's frozen over. You're right. It's frozen over. Frankie was too late. And by the time Frankie lands onto the pool, he doesn't have the big splash he was waiting for. He doesn't get all the glory he thought he would get.
instead of a big hard thud onto the ice. And now Frankie is scared. He knows he is stuck. He cannot get on the ice, and it's going to get colder and colder, and it could lead to his death. That's a very scary story, isn't it? But it's important that I tell you that, because that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the second half of verse 2 said, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the time of salvation." You know, we're not frogs. We're not trying to jump into a pool. But God sent his son Jesus into the world, and Jesus was perfect. He had done nothing wrong. We all do things wrong. We all say things wrong, think things wrong. But Jesus is the Son of God, and he has done nothing wrong. But he came into the world because he loves us so much. He became a human being because he's God, but he became a human being as well, fully God and fully man. And he grew up living a perfect life, helping people who were blind to see again, who were deaf to hear again. Amazing, amazing things. People who were dead, he brought back to life. But Jesus came for a purpose. And that was to tell you and me, you and I, about God. And to say that now is the time to ask God for forgiveness. And you see, Jesus died and was punished and was killed for all the things that you and I have done wrong. Jesus died for it. Because we need to be punished for our sins, for the things we do wrong. But God doesn't want us to be punished. So he sent Jesus to die instead of us. Because he knew that Jesus would be able to pay for our sin. And 3 days later, Jesus came back to life. But now is the time to say thank you to God and to trust him and ask him for forgiveness. And say thank you so much that you sent your son to die for me. Thank you so much that Jesus paid the punishment. He took the price I couldn't pay. He was punished instead of me. Thank you for Jesus dying for me. Please forgive me. Thank you that Jesus is alive and is forevermore. And if we trust in God and follow him, then that's like the frogs going in the pool. We are safe. We are in God's arms. And one day, we'll be with him forever. But if, like Frankie, we ignore God, say no to God, then we could be too late. Today is the day to come to God and ask him for forgiveness. Don't leave it to tomorrow, because you may not have tomorrow. Okay? So we're just going to pray now as well. Hold on. Can we get our fingers? We're going to cross our arms, ready? Well done. We're going to close our eyes, bow our heads, and we'll pray. Dear Lord God, I just thank you so much that you did send your son into this world to live a perfect life amongst us imperfect people, and that you took on the punishment that we deserve so that we can be set free. We trust in you. I just pray, Lord, that if there's any boys or girls or mums or dads or any adults at all or teens or anyone in between who hasn't trusted in you, that they will make that commitment today to come to you and say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for taking our sins. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening so well.
Thank you very much, Drew. Now, kids, as I told you, I've got wee worksheets here for you, okay? Now, you have to listen. This is all about listening this morning, okay? And I'm going to give you these, okay? And I want you to go back to your mums and dads, okay? And try and do them, okay? And if you can do them pretty well, there might be, if you write your name on the top of them and you give them to me on the way out this morning, you might get a wee prize next week if I think there's one of them really, really good, okay? So you have to try your best, all right? Now, the other thing is, I'm going to give you pencils, okay? Now, I clean this place, okay? I've got a wee basket out there in the vestibule, so when we're finished, the pencils go into the basket. If you come out this way, the pencils go back up onto the table here, okay? All right? See, that's called listening. All right? So there you go, and while you all go back to your seat, we're going to sing the children's hymn, I'm Special. Okay, so you can all go back to your seats, and you're allowed to sit and use the pews if you want to turn around your seats and use the pews, okay? The colour in and things, okay? So you go back to your mums and dads. Thank you, and we're going to sing this song, I'm Special. Thank you. Okay, as we come to pray for others this morning, the wee leaflets, Let's Pray, I don't know whether you've ever seen them, but they're always out in the festival, around in the welcome area, and they're in the quiet room as well. But they're prayer points on the Presbyterian Church that are produced every week, okay? And there's prayer points for every day of the week. You can get them online, but they are a good resource for telling you about what's happening around the Presbyterian churches and missionaries and different things that are going on. So they're really, really good resource. I'm going to use them today as we come to God in prayer. So let us do that, and let us come to God in a time of short prayer. Father God, I just want to bring to you the moderator, the Reverend William Henry. Father, we know that he is head of our Presbyterian Church. He's a man that stands out from the rest of us because he is a leader of this denomination. And Father, we just pray for him. We pray that over these summer months that he will have rest and time away with his family before he comes back to a busy schedule, Father God, a busy schedule where he has overseas trips. He has trips right round the whole presbytery. And Father, we pray for wisdom for him, for strength, for blessing for him as he goes into different places and different churches, as he lets your light shine, Father God, through him, Father God, where he is and what he does. So we just pray that he will remember, Father God, that we can make many plans, but it is you that determines our steps. And Father God, we do pray for the Reverend Keith Prestron, an Irish mission worker down in International Mission Point in North Belfast. We pray for his work among the community there, Father God, as he launches different things among asylum seekers and families that are living within that area. And we pray that this new initiative, Father God, especially for all the volunteers that are involved in it, will be a blessing to many. And we pray for Keith as he heads up this project. Father, may you give him time, energy, and strength to direct this project as you would move him forward. And Father, we pray that through this new venture, that many people will find faith in Christ, and that God will be glorified. We pray for Douglas Presbyterian Church and the Reverend David Reid. It's probably a church that we've never heard of, but we pray for the life and the witness of that place down in Douglas. And we pray for the minister, the Reverend David Reid, and the elders and the members of the congregation as they continue to reach out to the local community with the gospel. And Father, more locally, we do pray for our own communities. And we do thank you, Father God, that over this past week, 40 young adults got together and put together a program for 200 or more kids, Father God. And we thank you for that. And we give you praise that 4 or 5 kids came to know you, Father God. And we pray that all those seeds that were sown over that week, Father God, that many more will come to know you. But Father, we just thank you for them. We thank you for those young adults that got together. We thank you for the unity that they had. We thank you for Aaron that leads that up, Father God, and all the rest of the leaders, Father God. We thank you for each and every one of them and pray that you would give them rest this week and Father, that your blessing would be upon each and every one of them. And Father, we do pray for this community here in Grey Abbey, Father God, as we approach our own holiday Bible club. We just pray for your hand to be upon everything that goes on. Be upon Beth Alex as she leads it up, and that many will come around her, Father God, and that she will feel blessed by the help that she gets. So Father, we lift it up to you, and we lift this community up to you, and may they come along to it, Father God, and all the children as well. So Father, we bring these things to you now, and we pray that you would use them and bless them in every way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to start this morning with a scenario We're maybe sitting at our breakfast. It could be an Ulster fry. It could be croissants and strawberry jam. It could be a bowl of cereal, maybe, or maybe it could be just toast and marmalade. I don't know what you have. But you hear the postman come and put letters through your door, and you rise with anticipation as to what the post might have brought you today. And as you look through the letters, you discover this gold envelope with this fancy writing on it, and you discover when you open it, it is an invitation from the Queen, inviting herself to your house tomorrow. Well, you go into total busy mode, don't you? Everything, you know, the house is a mess, I'm a mess, the children are a mess, everything's just gone out the window, and this is priority here. You know, it's not every day the Queen comes to visit you, and you've got to get the place started. But we do get busy, you know. We do let things take over our lives, and we do get so busy, you know. But why are we so busy? You know, we live in a world that we have, let me see now, we live in a world that we have dishwashers. We live in a world where we have washing machines. We live in a world where we have slow cookers. We live in a world where we can go out and we have apps that we can turn on the heating in the house so that when we come back, it's nice and warm. We have apps that can turn on the tea so that when we come home, the tea is already cooked and all we have to do is eat it. We can buy things from home, on the internet, in our apps. You know, everything can be brought to us. There's nothing that we can't do from home. So why are we so busy? You know, in this passage, we talked about Mary and Martha. They're the two main characters in it. And are you a Mary today, or are you a Martha? And that's just what we're going to look at. So I just want to turn the passage up again and let us read it. I think Glenn's going to put it up on the screen. You maybe can read it, you maybe can't. But if you can't, do look it up in your Bible or in your apps or whatever way you want to look it up. It's Luke 10, 38 to 42. And as I looked at this passage, when Neil asked me to stand up here, this was what came to me right away. Mary and Martha. I don't know why God brought it to me, but I do know why God brought it to me, because it's speaking to someone here today, and it's maybe speaking to everyone here today. I don't know, because it's not about listening to me this morning. It's about listening to what God has to say through this passage. It's not about how good I am. It's about how good God is in your life and how God moves in your life. And you know, I want you to listen to what God is saying through this passage this morning. And as I looked at this passage, I read it to you again, but there was a few things in it that struck me. And I could read this passage tomorrow and there'd be something else that would strike me as well. So as I read it again, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried, you're upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, as I looked at that passage, the things that struck me was that Mary and Martha opened her door to Jesus. They're powerful words. Mary sat down and listened to what he said. Martha was distracted. Two different contrasts. And it started to play in Martha. And Martha said, "Lord, don't you care?" And Jesus said to her, "You're worried and upset about many things. But you know, Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her." So if Jesus were out front, would you have the forethought to invite him in for dinner like Martha did? Would you worry about the curtains or the dusty wood floors or the threadbare couch or the dog hair covering the pillows? It doesn't seem that Martha was too worried. She eagerly invited Jesus in and showed him the kind of hospitality that throws the door wide open and serves the best I have. Come to think of it, we can all learn from Mary and Martha. You know, as Martha's story unfolds, we find Mary smack in the middle of the living room, sitting with the boys, soaking up Jesus' words. Martha, well, she's scurrying around like a headless chicken. She's trying to get the roast lamb, the cake cooked, and everything sorted. The woman is on a mission, and she'll not stop until the guests are happily rubbing their full stomachs. But there's one problem here. You know, poor Martha's trying to serve dinner for 15 or more with zero help. And she flies by the living room door, and she sees Mary sitting with the 12 disciples and Jesus. And that was enough. She flipped. She flipped. And she went and straight up to Jesus. And you know, we can learn something about that. Because sometimes when we have problems in our life, sometimes when we're down, sometimes when things aren't going right, you know, we talk to our family, we talk to our friends, but we never think about coming to Jesus, coming to God, and talking to him. So Martha did the right thing. She went straight up to Jesus, and she said, "How dare she do this to me?" You know, and she said to Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. You know, how interesting that Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha for her words. He doesn't say, "Look, you know, listen here, girlie, you do not get to speak to me that way." No, he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're concerned about many things, but Mary has done what is right." You know, I'm going to put up a few verses now. Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Keep your lives free from worldly things and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" And we can experience that in our lives, that God will never leave us and never forsake us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And we find inner peace and strength to face whatever comes our way. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You know, there's three wonderful verses. You can take them home today. Hebrews 13, 5, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, John 14, 27. For direction, for blessing, and for peace. Three things, three truths that can keep us calm even in the busiest seasons of our life. You know, Mary chose to listen to Jesus over preparation of the meal. And you know, people make choices. They are part of life. And the prophet Moses declared, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." Folks, our daily choices affect our lives. And the end result of this life is determined by the choices we make every day. Jesus said Mary chose the good part. You know, we have to make a choice as to whether we seek the good part. Jesus tells us the highest priority in life should be to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But what did Jesus mean when he said the good part? Apostle John answers this question very well in Luke 10, 42, when he says, "All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, well, it's passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." You know, God can speak to us in many ways, but we need to listen, obviously, through his word. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed. And you know, sometimes when we read God's word, it can be a warning. It can be a lesson for life. And you know, his story is written with love as God's guide for life, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, he can speak to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus used the scenario that he was the shepherd and we were the sheep. And in John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Why? Because the sheep know who he is. They belong to him and they recognize him by the sound of his voice. And he's the one who will always lovingly lead them on the right path again. You know, we can see God speaking to us through nature, through God's creation. Often I go up for a walk in Mount Stuart and you see the beauty of all the things up there. And if you're walking through it, one of the things that would catch your eyes would be the beautiful trees. And you know, God can say to you, you know, that tree took years and years to get to where the beauty that it is. And you know, I can take you and I can make you into a beautiful thing if you let me. Some of us are gardeners and we love to work with seeds. And you know very well, if you plant seeds, in a few weeks' time, that they'll start to bud and start to grow. And you know, God can say to us through creation, you know, and through seeds like that, that someone might come in that day when you're in the garden. Someone that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an opportunity to sow seeds. You know, God can speak to us so much through nature and through creation, but we need to be looking for it. We need to know. And God can speak to us through other believers as well. Many times, other Christian friends will come up to us when they've noticed something not right in our lives, and they'll maybe point that out. Don't blow the top with them. Go home and focus on what they said and look it up in God's word and see what God says to you, because maybe, just maybe, they were just trying to tell you something. You know, God can speak to us through music as well. I love music. I love gospel music and I love singing music. My voice wouldn't be great, but I love singing music. And it is a way of lifting us up. It's a way of coming through us and giving us power and strength. We maybe come in here today and we're sad and low. But you know, when we start to sing God's music, then we are lifted up. And you know, in 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat faced a huge army, a huge army of enemies who could have been easily destroyed his people. But he did a strange thing. And with declaration and with that his eyes were on God, he sent in a choir of praise singers. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out to the Lord ahead of the army, singing, "Thank you, thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." And God spoke clearly. He released his power, and Jehoshaphat's army defeated their enemies. You know, God can really lift us up through music if we're listening. Through circumstances. Not so long ago, Julian and myself went to watch a film called Breakthrough. A very powerful film on prayer. If you ever get an opportunity to go to see it, please do. But it was about three boys that were ice skating on a lake that was frozen. And the ice broke and the three boys went into the water. Two of them were able to escape, but the third boy got hit in the head and was sinking to the bottom of the lake. The firemen were in very, very quickly with poles trying to find the boy. And they were just about to give up when one of them heard a voice saying, "Go back to where you started." The fireman went back to where he started, put the pole in, and he caught the boy and they were able to pull him up. Now, it's a long story about prayer and the power of prayer. But at the end of the film, the boy came to the fireman and sat down beside him and tried to explain to him where the voice come from. And you know, God can speak to us through many things. He can speak to us through His Spirit, through our conscience. Obviously, there's things in our lives that we know we shouldn't be doing. And we hear that conscience, we hear that thing, that Spirit talking to us saying, you know, maybe not. Maybe you'd be better not doing that. You know, that's God's Spirit speaking to His folks. But we need to be listening. He can speak to us through prayer. You know, prayer is a very powerful thing. And many of us come to God asking. But we never take time to listen. And it's so important. It's so important, folks, to listen to God. You know, all these things are disciplines. All these things need obedience to be able to do them. So are you Mary or are you Martha this morning? You know, 30-odd years ago, I walked into Belfast Bible College. I was interviewed by the Reverend Drew Gibson and the principal of the Belfast Bible College. And they said, excuse me, they said that I could come for one day a week. And I said that that would be fine. Yep, you know, that would be fine. But when I come out and get into the car, I said to Julian, I said, you know, I don't think that's going to work. You know, I don't think, how on earth am I going to start working a 4-day week instead of a 5-day week so I can go up to Belfast College? Do you see what I'm doing? I'm getting busy. I'm getting to be a Martha and I'm not a Mary. I wasn't listening to God. But what I wanted to say to you is, you know, God doesn't forget about the Marthas. God still works with the Marthas. And it's very important that you don't give up, because God can continue to work through you. As I said, He can make you into a beautiful thing. So are you Mary or are you Martha this morning? That's what my challenge is to you. And as we come and as we sing our final word, our final hymn this morning, it's from the hand of Keith and Kirsten Getty, and it's "Speak, O Lord, as you come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth and plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory." Let us stand, folks, and let us sing that with our heart and soul, that we are listening to God this morning as He speaks to us.
Thank you.
Father God, as we come from a church that is gathered to a church that is dispersed, Father God, we pray that you will take us and make us more into Mary's than we are Martha's. And Father God, that you would bless us and guide us this week, Father God, as we go about our daily lives. And Father God, that we will return here knowing that we have walked with you this week. So Father, we just pray that your blessing be upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name.